Well, in our last class, we were talking about Amaziah, the king of Judah, and we saw that he killed the servants that had slain his father, but he did not go after their families, according to the law. Let's look at that real quick, briefly, at 2 Kings 14. 2 Kings 14, verse 5. It says, "Now it came about, as soon as the kingdom was firmly in his hand, that he killed his servants who had slain the king, his father. But the sons of the slayers he did not put to death, according to what was written in the book of the law of Moses, as the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the sons, nor the sons be put to death for the fathers, but each shall be put to death for his own sin." So we see that he only put the servants to death. And then we saw also that he wanted to face Joash. And in verse 8, it says, "Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face each other." So we left off in Chronicles. We were actually looking in Chronicles. We were looking there to get some more details about this. Actually, in 2 Chronicles 25, you'll turn over there. In 2 Chronicles 25, in verse 17, it's similar to what we just read in 2 Kings. But we started off, we backed up a little bit, because I wanted to look at some verses before that, and then we'll make our way to verse 17. So that way we can get a little more information that we see listed here in Chronicles. So we saw where the man of God told Amaziah not to let the army of Israel go with him, and that was in verse 7. 2 Chronicles 25, 7, it says, "But a man of God came to him, saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, nor with any sons of Ephraim. But if you do go, do it, be strong for the battle, yet God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has power to help and to bring down." And then we see in verse 10 that Amaziah does dismiss these troops that he had hired. And then it goes on to tell us what they had done. In verse 13, it says, "But the troops whom Amaziah sent back from going with him to battle raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth-horon and struck down 3,000 of the men and plundered much spoil." And then basically, that's kind of where we left off in our last class. We left off, if you're on your lesson number 7, it's your page 32, I believe. So page 32 of lesson 7, there's a question in there. It says, "What does Amaziah bring back with him after slaughtering the Edomites?" Okay, so he brought back their gods, the gods of the sons of Seir. Yes, ma'am. Good point, Linda. He didn't just bring them back. I mean, he brought them back so he could worship them. Good point. And in verse 14, still in 2 Chronicles, let's read that. 2 Chronicles 25, 14 says, "Now after Amaziah came from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought the gods of the sons of Seir, set them up as his gods, bowed down before them and burned incense to them," like Linda said. So not only did he bring them back, but he is worshiping these gods that he brought back. And then it says, Then the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, and we'll stop there for a second, because I put on there on the lesson, what was God's question to Amaziah? So he sends this prophet and he asks a question. What is that question? Right. Yes, ma'am. So he says, why have you sought the gods of the people who have not delivered their own people from your hand? And that's a good question. Why would you trust in those gods? Especially if you know what this God can do. But that's what he does. And these were gods that were not able to even, as it stated, deliver the people that, you know, Amaziah had gone up against. So these gods couldn't even deliver that. But yet that's what he brings back with him. And then, you know, as this man of God is saying this, the king basically tells him that he doesn't have the right to counsel him. And we see that in verse 16. It says, as he was talking with him, the king said to him, have we appointed you a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be struck down? Then the prophet stopped and said, so he says, stop. Why should you be struck down? And then the prophet tells him something because of a result of this. He says, I know that God has planned to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. So the king's first thought is, why are you addressing me? You know, I'm not seeking your counsel, but the man of God says, you know, because he's getting this from somewhere much higher. And so we see what he tells him, that the Lord plans on, or I know that God has planned to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. So he did have a right to counsel him. We see that in verse 16. Any thoughts or comments as we move on? Yes, ma'am. And we see God doing that over and over, don't we? We see that he sends warnings and tries to, you know, talk to these people, make them have some sense. But it's like you said, it has to do with the heart of that individual. And, you know, he didn't listen. And now we get to the part here in Chronicles that's kind of where we left off in Kings. We'll keep reading here from the Chronicles, but we're going to see something in verse 20 that we don't see in the book of Kings. But in 18 it says, Joash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thorn bush which was in Lebanon sent to the cedar which was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son in marriage. But there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. You said, behold, you have defeated Edom, and your heart has become proud and boasting. So we see something, we start to see something happening here. And Joash tells him that, hey, you've become proud. And then in the end of verse 19, it even said, now stay at home. For why should you provoke trouble that you, even you, should fall and Judah with you? So he even tries to warn him. And 2 Kings words it this way. It says, enjoy your glory and stay at home. Why should you provoke trouble that you, and again it says, even you should fall and Judah with you. So we see this idea of pride. Pride's starting to take over him. And, you know, so Joash says, why Amaziah? And reminds him, not just you, but Judah. But then in Chronicles, and we're still in 25, in verse 20, it says that Amaziah would not listen. For it was from God that he might deliver them into the hand of Joash because they had sought the gods of Edom. So again, we see that the Lord was not pleased with his actions. And they had sought the gods of Edom. And note how it says they in verse 20, because they had sought the gods of Edom. So, and how we've seen in the past, you know, the God, these kings, the things that they've done and the things they're introducing, it also states behind there that they caused Israel to sin. So let's remember that too. So their influence, you know, and the things that happened because of that. So let's turn back. We'll jump back over to 2 Kings now. I know we're kind of going back and forth, but like I said before, sometimes you have some information that's in Kings that's not in Chronicles and vice versa. So looking at both of them is helpful in picking up some different things that are in there. So in 2 Kings chapter 14... We're in chapter 14, verse 13 says, then Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and tore down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate. It was 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver and all the utensils which were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, and his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings? So Jehoash slept with his fathers, and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam, his son, became king in his place. So we'll see Jeroboam introduced here. We'll see more as we go along. So now, Joash, king of Israel, he's dead. And on the lesson, I put a question. It says, how long does Amaziah live? After the death of Joash or Jehoash, how much longer does he live after this? Okay, yes, ma'am, 15 years. We see that in verse 17. And then you don't have to turn over there, but 2 Chronicles says from the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. So that was in 2 Chronicles 25, 27. So still here in 2 Kings, it says that they brought him on horses and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. And all the people of Judah took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in his place of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. So after these brief comments that it has in verses 21 and 22, it switches thought again. It's going to back up just a little in time and it starts talking about the king of Israel. So in 2 Kings 14:23, it's on your lesson. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. So, again, if you're doing your chart, that's some good information to fill out there. And I asked on the lesson, was Jeroboam a good king or a bad king? Now, let's Jeroboam second. Same answer, but but we're talking about Jeroboam the second here. Was he a good king or a bad king? Okay, he was a bad king. Excuse me. So in verse 24, it said, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So that's going back to the first Jeroboam, and which he made Israel sin. Like I just stated, we see this idea of how these influences and how they caused Israel to sin. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, and prophet, who was at Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw the afflictions of Israel, which was very bitter, for there was neither bond nor free, nor was there any helper for Israel. And verse 27 also states, it says that the Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. So we see the last couple of verses. It says, now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did and his might, how he fought and how he recovered for Israel, Damascus and Hamath, which had belonged to Judah, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So it basically starts closing it out, how a lot of these books do. And then it's going to tell who reigned after him. It says, Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the king of Israel, and Zechariah, his son, became king in his place. So that is all for that lesson. Are there any other comments or any questions or thoughts or anything? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's true. And yes, sir. Yes. Yes, we have just that one little spot right there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So that, as Steve said, that Jonah is that Jonah that we just read. yes. So it is during the time of Jonah was one of the prophets as well. Any other thoughts or comments? Before we go into the next lesson, I just wanted us to consider for a second, because we see this idea when we were talking about Amaziah. You know, and not just him. We've seen it with other kings, and we're going to see it as we go on. The things that these kings, it's evident that there's God. And he makes it evident. And then you even have prophets that are sent and all these different things. But yet you see some of the stuff. Well, I was going to say they're thinking, but really it appears to not be thinking. Because you have all of this, and then they want to bring back these other gods that we know are not really gods. But it was the influences of either these other nations. We'll see as we go further the way it words some things. It can be the influence of another nation or an influence of a king. But we've seen over and over how things are influenced and how they allow, the kings allow these influences to interrupt doing what they should do. And they serve these gods instead of serving God. And we just need to keep that in mind. And as I mentioned, and I don't remember if it was our last class or which one it is, but we too need to be careful of our influences, because outside influences are like this. They don't agree with what we know is to be true. And that's the whole thing about influences. I've mentioned Solomon before, but we see this. That's why we're where we're at with this divided kingdom. Wisest man, but he wasn't wise in his decisions because of those that he allowed to influence him. He married the foreign women like he was warned not to, and those influences changed things, and that's kind of what led us up to what we're seeing here. So we just need to be careful of influences, and because I'm sure, especially being the wisest man, he said, these women aren't going to affect me. You know, because we hear stuff like that when you try to talk to people or try to warn them about some influences. But let's be wise in that. Any thoughts or comments before we start Lesson 8? Yes, sir. And that's, and plus, we see, like you said, he handled it differently. So we see this idea of pride, and we've seen it in some of the others as well, because the Lord has blessed them. You know, he's using them, and then just pride takes over, because then they think it's all about them and forgot where these things come from. And then after pride takes over, it's downhill from there. So good comment, Craig. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we're going to get to a point where we see it's like, well, I've warned you, you don't listen. So, yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Okay. So in Lesson 8, does everybody have a Lesson 8? Anybody need a Lesson 8? Okay. In lesson 8, that's covering 2 Kings chapter 15, and then also 2 Chronicles 26 and 27. So in those three chapters, we see what's going on and what we're going to look at under lesson 8. So we're going to see a lot of kings of Israel come and go in this chapter, but this chapter starts with a king, or with the king of Judah, and I believe it ends with the next king of Judah. But it starts with the king of Judah in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. It says, in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, becomes king. And I also put on there to note 2 Chronicles 26, 1, and that's going to have to do with our question that's going to come up in just a second. But again, how a lot of these chapters start, it's going to talk about that king and give some information about him. It says that he was 16 years old when he became king, and that he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. So the question on the lesson that I was just referring to, it says, what other name was Azariah called? Because we see him, I believe 2 Kings uses Azariah throughout chapter 15. What other name could you call him? Uzziah? Yes, sir. Okay, so, and actually, you probably have a footnote that says Uzziah. Well, if you back up to chapter 14, because that's where we first saw him in 14:21, when it says that they took Azariah, you might have a footnote there that says Uzziah. And when you're reading in Chronicles, you're going to notice that he's referred to as Uzziah. And also the first couple of verses, I think, that you see him there, you're going to see a footnote, and it's going to cross your back and tell you that he's Azariah. So he's Azariah in Kings, Uzziah in Chronicles, same guy. So just keep that in mind. As if it's not confusing enough when we're looking at some of these Joashes from both sides and everything, but just keep that in mind. In 2 Kings 15:3, it says, speaking of Azariah or Uzziah, it says, he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Only, and we've seen this, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Verse 6, I'm skipping 5 on purpose. Verse 6, now the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. So again, as normal, we see a little information about him. And then towards the end, it's talking about who reigned in his place. Because in Kings, it doesn't say a whole lot about him in Kings. Because after verse 7 of Kings in chapter 15, he's only mentioned you'll see him a little bit, but it's mainly just referencing time is when you'll see his name, not really giving information about him. It's using him as a time reference. So here in Kings, we have some information about him in the first 4 verses, and then 6 and 7 talk about his death and how Jotham takes his place. But in between there, we had verse 5, which we skipped. And it gives some information, not really any detail other than what we're going to see, that Jotham reigned also during this time. And we'll find out more when we look in 2 Chronicles. But 2 Kings 15:5, it says, "And the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house while Jotham, the king's son, was over the household, judging the people of the land." So we see that also in 2 Kings. So we see that he was struck as a leper, and then his son, Jotham, was reigning and judging the people and the land. So now we can look over at Chronicles, and we can pick up some more information. In 2 Chronicles 26, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 4, it says, "He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done." But it says he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through his vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God would prosper him. So as long as he seeks the Lord, God's going to prosper him. Verse 6 says, "Now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines." God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbal and the Munites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. So we see here that God helped him, and then Uzziah becomes very strong. In verse 9, it says, "Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress, and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile lands or fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by division according to their number of their muster, prepared by Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. The total number of his heads of households of the valiant warriors was 2,600. Under the direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armors, bows, and slings and stones, or sling stones. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners, for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence, his fame spread afar." So it gives detail over and over all these grand things he has. And as we saw, as long as he sought the Lord, God was prospering him. And here, he's getting to be known. He's getting to be well known. but that also, remember, these are blessings. This was from God. But that doesn't mean we can't use them wrongly. And what I mean is what's about to start taking place. We can let these things that God has done get to our head. And remember, it's not us. In this case, I mean, it said that the Lord prospered him. But we're going to start to see a problem that he too had. Let's see here. Now, I asked the question. It says Uzziah was marvelously helped until when? What does it state? What term does it use? Okay, till he became strong. So we saw that at the end of this verse. It says, hence his fame spread afar. And I didn't read the rest of it. It says, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. So he was strong. The Lord has allowed this. The Lord has blessed him. But then we see an issue happening. Before I read any more, what kind of problem is Uzziah having here? Okay, he's having a pride issue here. We're going to see in verse 16 that this pride caused something in him. And I also asked, what did Uzziah do that angered the Lord? What things did he do that angered the Lord? Say that again, Susan. Okay, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And that's what Susan was saying, that he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense. We see that in verse 16. But you also have verse 19, and also his actions towards the priests, so which we'll see as we go a little bit further. But in verse 16, it says, when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. So this was a thing that started off good, but he allowed it to be something that it didn't need to be. And that was because he allowed pride to enter in. So his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord, his God. So that's what this pride did. His actions, he was unfaithful to the Lord, his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord and to burn incense on the altar of incense. And he didn't have a right to do that. And let's look at verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 26. We're still in Chronicles. Yes, sir. No, you're good. Go ahead, Steve.
Just a passing point, but it can be helpful in our general study of the Bible. Verse 15, it says his fame spread abroad, but there's a footnote. And it says literally his name spread abroad. That's the way it's translated in King James American Standard. So his name spread abroad doesn't mean there are a lot of little baby boys named others.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Steve. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So name is when it says that, or like you said in the footnote, because that was for his fame, but name is for what they're known to be for. Thank you, Steve. Any other comments or thoughts? Okay. So let's see here. So he entered the temple, and wanted to burn these incense, and you know, he had no right to do this. So in verse 17, it said, then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. We note in there, so the priest opposes Uzziah, the king, but which he should have. You know, that's what he was supposed to do. But we just think about that. Here's the king, but the priest comes in there and he says, you can't do this. You have no right to be doing this. And he even states that, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. So we'll go ahead and stop right there and we'll pick up. Do y'all have any thoughts or comments? We have about a minute. Yes, sir.
I don't recall one verse that says to the Messiah or one prophet that says, thou shalt not burn incense.
Get that from somewhere else, don't you? Yes, sir.
If people think it's not a thou shalt not, it's okay.
Good point. Good point, Steve. All right, well, thank y'all.